Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service this morning. This is a special day in the church year. This is the day of Pentecost. There are three principal Christian festivals, Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost, which commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit and the beginning of the Christian mission and its spread throughout the world. A couple of announcements before we begin. We continue to offer Cafe Hope through Zoom, so you'll be receiving an email again. Please join us for that at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. We've been having a good time, so you're all invited to join us for that. I'm sorry I wasn't able to get another lecture up on the website. However, this week I definitely will. So you can look for that early in the week. We'll get that one up there. And we are also in the process of planning for the opening of the church office. It will definitely happen sometime in mid-June. I don't know the exact date, but look for mid-June, and we will let you all know when we've opened the office again. Thank you to everyone who has participated in our service this morning. Again, Skip and Judy are recording. Karen is our reader today. Jan, Lucy, and Glorianne and Vaughn are our musicians. So we begin our service this morning with the singing of hymn number 627, verses 1, 3, and 4.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, on this day you open the hearts of your faithful people by sending into us your Holy Spirit. Direct us by the light of that Spirit, that we may have a right judgment in all things and rejoice at all times in your peace through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Today the reading comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, and when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, and Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Here ends the reading.
Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling.
Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday has always been one of my favorites, partly because of the time of the year. It always comes in springtime, and I love springtime. But Pentecost is also one of my favorite commemorations because, number one, to understand how the Holy Spirit functions in our lives and how that happens, to me is a major blessing and very important. And so with the opportunity to just focus just on that, to me, is a wonderful opportunity. Now, as is my custom, I am going to go all the way back to the original event in order to put this in context, because it's important to understand that the seed of Christianity that existed at that time was very, very small. Okay, those people gathered in that room consisted of the 12 apostles, one of whom had been replaced, of course, Judas, Jesus' family, a few of the women who had followed him around, such as Mary Magdalene, and perhaps some sundry others. We aren't sure, but it was a very, very small group. This was the seed that would eventually, the ministry of these people, Galilee. Remember when Karen read the text, the people said, "Aren't these Galileans?" Well, they knew that because of their accent. And their accent was considered not sophisticated, to put it nicely. And so they recognized who they were right away. And to believe that this was the seed that would start a movement, a revolutionary movement, that would eventually overtake not just the Western world, but the whole world. Christianity now isn't just practiced in the West. In fact, the growth of the Christian church is taking place in the South, in the global South, as they put it. That's where most of it is happening. And even in places where Christianity is discouraged, such as China, it is growing leaps and bounds. So this is a movement, this is a revolution that overtook the whole globe, plain and simple. Now, Pentecost is a word that is Greek for 50. We're 50 days after Passover, and it is time for the second in three Jewish festivals. Now, originally, Pentecost was referred to as the festival of the weeks. And what it was a harvest festival, because it was harvest time. The wheat that had been planted in the fall and winter was now ready to be harvested. And wheat was very important for the people of Palestine at that time. Bread was an absolute staple. Okay, so, but it evolved. The festival evolved to the point where they began to celebrate it also as the time when Moses was given the law on Mount Sinai. So this was a highly symbolic festival. It was also a pilgrimage festival, which is why there were all these people speaking different languages in Jerusalem at the time. Normally, they wouldn't have been there. They were there because it was a pilgrimage festival. People came there to celebrate from all over the Roman world. And so we have all these people gathered to celebrate this festival. Now, it had been 50 days since Jesus had made his first appearance after rising from the dead. Now, there were very few people who saw him. Paul lists them. Peter, James, the 12. And then at one point, he appears, according to Paul, to 500 people at once. Obviously, to the women who came to the tomb. And then, as to one untimely born, to me, Paul. Okay, so that's about it. This occurred over a period of 50 days. After that, Jesus was no longer seen ever again in bodily form. Ever. He was gone for good. That was the end of it. So, the disciples were gathered. They weren't quite sure yet what. I mean, they had been told by Jesus, okay, I'm sending you now. It's your job now. As the Father sent me, I send you. Go out into the world, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching all people to observe all that I've commanded you. Okay, that's what they knew. But for a bunch of people who were former fishermen and farmers, the idea of traveling outside of Palestine, I mean, going to Jerusalem was a big deal for them. Going all the way to places like Philippi and Greece or Laodicea up in Asia Minor or all the way to Rome, for God's sakes, that's unheard of. How many people did that? Almost nobody. They didn't really know what they were even about. They were just gathered together, but they did know this. And this has been the pattern of Christian worship ever since. They gathered together. They heard the apostles teach the word. They broke the bread, the sacrament, and they prayed. That has been Christian worship ever since. That pattern was set right then and there at the very beginning. In any case, the Christian church was extremely limited, to say the least, at this time. Now, what happened on that first Pentecost? What happened on that first Pentecost that planted the seed for this mega miracle of a faith that would eventually become the most sophisticated faith when it comes to theology, when it comes to ecclesiastical structures, when it comes to traditions, when it comes to all those things that pertain to the religious life of a group? How on earth did all of this evolve out of that? It became the most sophisticated set of theological and practical principles that existed anywhere. Well, Luke, the way Luke tells it, first there was a mighty wind. And then there were tongues of fire that rested on each one of those original apostles. Now, the tongue was a symbol because their tongues are going to be opened here. All right? This is the beginning of the proclamation of the gospel. And if Christianity is anything. It is a religion that was spread through the proclamation of the word. That is the way it was spread, plain and simple. Now, there were times throughout Christian history when Christians, you know, went wrong just like everybody else goes wrong, and used violence and used threats and used all kinds of despicable methods to convert people. But even when they used those, they didn't really convert anybody. They just forced them to submit. It is the word, the proclamation of the word, that spreads the faith. So they begin to preach. They begin to preach the gospel. And they do so in all these different languages. Now, there's a movement within Christianity. It's always been there. It's been there from the very beginning. It's called the Charismatic Movement. And Charismatics speak in tongues. This is not speaking in tongues. What these people were doing was speaking real languages. Excuse me. Speaking in tongues sounds a little bit like babbling, okay? And you need you need somebody to interpret what is being said, because it's just babble. All right, the Apostle Paul says he did it, but he wasn't particularly impressed with it. But it was a phenomenon that existed back then and exists today, and some people receive that gift. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But that's not what this is. What these people heard were real languages, their languages. Some were speaking of the apostles, that is, Arabic. Others were speaking in another language. Others were speaking in another language. And others were speaking in another language. And so the point is that what we're seeing here is kind of a reversal of what happened at the Tower of Babel. What happened there? Human beings got together. They decided, we're going to build a tower to heaven. We're so smart. We're so brilliant. We're so powerful. We can build a tower all the way to heaven. Who needs God? We can do it on our own. Unfortunately, it didn't work out too well. And God scattered them, and they spoke all different kinds of languages, and that was the end of that. Now we have languages all over the globe. This is a reversal of that, not in the sense of doing away with different languages, but in the sense of finding something not that separates people, but that brings people back together again. What Pentecost, what the Holy Spirit does, is bring what is separated back together again. One of the things that disturbs me about the current political climate in this country is the tribalism that is going on. People identify themselves with a particular race or a particular ethnicity or a particular sexual orientation or a particular this or a particular that. And then they break off into political blocks. And then we act as if we're enemies of one another. How is a country going to hold together in the middle of that? Well, that's not what's going on here. What's going on here is unity. And it's not unity that does away with diversity. It's unity that preserves it. All of these different people from different places, speaking different languages, they all come together under one specific faith. Faith in the person who created all this hubbub in the first place, namely Jesus Christ. So what the Holy Spirit is about is creating faith in Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit is about. The Holy Spirit is God's gift of redemption. Okay, now Jesus accomplishes salvation for us in his death and resurrection, separate from anything we do, which is why the reformers got so worked up about works righteousness. That came out kind of funny. But anyway, they rightly saw that when you tell people you've got to do X and Y and Z and the other thing in order to be assured that you are acceptable to God, they rightly saw that that's a denial of what Christ has already done for you. It's also a denial of the faith that the Holy Spirit gives you. The Holy Spirit doesn't create salvation, redemption. What the Holy Spirit does is bring it into our lives. Christ accomplishes it on the cross and in his resurrection. The Holy Spirit is the power of that redemption poured out on each and every one of us. And it's poured out in many different ways. It's poured out as we hear the gospel, just as it happened here. It's poured out as we receive the sacrament. It's poured out when you live a Christian life and others see that and they say that is an exemplary, Christ-like way to live. That too is a witness to Christ. Anything that points to Christ is a means through which the Holy Spirit creates faith and brings people together, no matter who they are. Race, gender, ethnicity, none of that makes any difference. As Paul said, we are all one in Christ, plain and simple. So what the Holy Spirit does is it transcends the differences that we so, in an idolatrous way, make amongst ourselves. The Holy Spirit transcends those differences and enables us to see in our neighbor another human being, not a person of a different category, who therefore is a potential enemy or potential something else. The Holy Spirit creates a family out of the human race. The Holy Spirit brings us together. Now, in order for us to transcend and rise above our slavery to negative influences in the world, those things that create enmity and strife and hatred and the desire to dehumanize other people, fear, hopelessness, despair, we need divine help. We need the influence of grace. We need God's love. The simplest way to see how this works is to simply, when you read the Gospels, and I hope you're doing that, Jesus, he didn't, you know, yet at times he did speak to large crowds because large crowds gathered around him. But more often than not, he spoke to small numbers of people, or even sometimes one-on-one. He went to those people who were, you know, excluded from the social life of the community. He sat down with it. This fellow eats with sinners. That was a constant complaint about him. This fellow associates with tax collectors. This fellow associates with ne'er-do-wells. This fellow associates with people nobody else wants to be around. Well, yeah, that's exactly what he did. And when he sat down with them and he talked to them, his way of communicating God's love and mercy and forgiveness and his way of telling them God is calling you back into his family. God is not pushing you away. God is not saying no to you. God is saying yes to you. Was so overwhelming that it transformed lives and it changed them. And it gave them faith, it gave them hope, and it gave them the ability to love even those who rejected them. Now that is a major revolution inside of a person's heart. Now if you start to, you know, multiply that to many, many, many different people, which is precisely what happens as a result of Pentecost, then you begin to see why the Christian movement was such a revolutionary movement that it completely changed the values of an entire world. Each of us is called to do likewise. For this is how people come to realize that faith is the greatest blessing they can possibly experience. Faith connects us to a future that never ends, eternal life, living in the powerful love of God forever. Anything else is a mere idol. Put your hope in worldly things that have no future, those things will eventually evaporate like the morning dew on the grass. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you have hope for a place in God's kingdom that will never end. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to bear our sin and so suffer and die on the cross. For this unlimited and boundless act of love, we give you thanks. That he rose from the dead and granted us the assurance of salvation Dear Lord, we give you thanks. Humble thanks. Obviously, nothing we say or do can possibly express the inexpressible value of this gift. And we thank you on this Pentecost Sunday that you sent the Holy Spirit into our hearts to bring the redemption Christ has accomplished for us into our lives so that we can live as redeemed people, so that we can show love to other people, so that we can work to make the world a better place, so that we can do those things that you commanded us to do, to feed those who are hungry, to clothe those who are naked, to visit those who are imprisoned, to serve the needs of so many people who suffer in ways that we can't even imagine. Gracious Father, empower us to go forth as your ambassadors, empowered by the Holy Spirit to do your will and to continue your ministry. At this time of pandemic, especially, we pray again for those who are governing this nation and the nations of the world. We pray for those who continue to suffer from this illness, and we pray for those who have lost loved ones. Keep them all in your care. We ask these things in the name of him who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn, number 679. Peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thank you all for listening again, everyone. Next Sunday, Our presiding bishop, Bishop Elizabeth Eaton, will be giving us, will be delivering the sermon. And we are going to have the same service, but Bishop Eaton will be the preacher from someplace in Chicago. But she will be the preacher, so we invite you to join us for that. In the meantime, stay well, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.